Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects, and one of our frequent guests to the show joining us now. We had mentioned him and said we had to get him on anyway, but we found out a little bit more about our man Jeff Blum, who you can catch every single Astros television game on Root Sports. Blummer, this infatuation with the Star... Are you a Comic-Con guy overall, or is it just Star Wars? You seemed almost smitten and giddy with all those characters in the studio, in the booth the other night.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm not quite to the Comic-Con extent, but I am a little bit of a Star Wars nerd. I've completely indoctrinated my daughters into the whole saga, so I take a lot of pride in that.
That's awesome, dude. So when are you going to deal with the whole costume? Are you looking for the authentic Stormtrooper?
I'm not sure I'd be able to store it at the house because my wife would be in a panic, but if I could find an off-site facility to have all that kind of stuff, then I definitely would think about it.
All right. Fair enough. That's cool. And where are you on Game of Thrones with this Devo bobblehead coming up with the dragon?
I haven't gotten into the Game of Thrones yet. I mean, there's always the opportunity by downloading and watching it on some flights, but that Devo bobblehead might be one of the best bobbleheads I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, just the fact that the box is like the size of a bowling ball is going to be interesting for the distribution.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's impressive. It's got some weight to it, but the detail on it, they had one in the booth the other day. It was amazing.
Yeah, I saw you guys have it. That's what I was going to say. Man, when I saw the size of that box, I'm like, oh, that's going to be a nightmare to pass out.
Yeah, I think there's only a select few. You got to buy a ticket package to go along with it, but it'll be well worth it once you get it home.
All right, Jeff, let's get down to brass tacks here. Who had the better debut, Martez or Derek Fisher?
First start for Martez.
Yeah,
we've
first
seen a little
start.
Bit of Martez.
Yeah.
But it was impressive. You know what? Man, that's a tough call because I love the fact that Martez went out there and shoved against the Texas Rangers. That gives you an idea not only about the stuff that the kid has, but also about the attitude that guy goes out there with, and the way he walked off the mound in that fifth inning was really impressive. I love the fire. It's a little, reminiscent of Lance McCullers when he's out there, so that's kind of exciting for me. But how often do you hear about a guy, and obviously I'm an offensive-minded type guy, but how often do you see a guy go in and his first big league game get a home run and a base hit and a couple RBIs in one inning? So I'd have to go with Derek Fisher. As good as Martez was, Fisher's was most impressive to me.
Blummer, have you seen this in Fisher? Did you see it in camp? Because, I mean, look, we know the prospect list is long. We know and have heard about all the guys, and the guys have been coming up the last couple years. He's been a relative unknown, but, boy, he seems to be on everybody's A1 list if there's any trades to be made with the Astros.
No, Derek Fisher for me is legit. Martez is interesting just because he's 21 years old, and I think he's still pretty raw. But the fact that he went out there and competed with three legitimate pitches and has a massive upside because he's so young is appealing to me. But Derek Fisher, I saw that in spring training. We actually had some talks when Todd Callis came over and we had a chance to watch these guys in spring training. He was the one guy that really jumped at both of us immediately was the swing, the strike zone discipline, his ability to hit to all fields. And then the biggest question for me was he going to be able to play in the outfield? He obviously has enough speed, but sometimes you put a guy out there with raw talent and he takes some funky routes and doesn't have a very good throwing motion. But Gary Pettis worked his tail off with him in spring training, and really Derek Fisher reaped the benefits of that because his routes got better to the baseball. And once he got to it, he showed off a cannon just by changing a simple little grip. So not only is the guy talented, he also is very coachable, which is appealing too. But that guy fits right into this lineup so far.
Yeah, the other thing that I mentioned that I was really impressed with was him getting the two walks. I think that might have actually got me more excited than anything else. And you saw he has the ability to get on base. But to come in your first game and to be patient enough to get two walks, not just up there swinging, does that say something to you about how mature he is as a hitter?
Absolutely. It's a good point to bring up, too, because I talked about on the broadcast, there was one AB where he actually worked a walk because he got into a 3-1 count and a guy in scoring position. I know a lot of young guys are trying to impress when they first get called up, so I'm going to drive in as many runs as I possibly can. I'm going to swing as hard as I can. I'm going to do all of these things in excess whereas Derek Fisher got himself in that same situation with the runner in scoring position and a three-ball count, and he spits on a pitch down and takes the walk and extends that inning. So it gives you an idea of what they're teaching down the minor league level, as well as the mentality of and ability of Derek Fisher.
All right, Blummer, big series against the Red Sox. Jeff Luhnow on the station earlier today anticipating the guys on the DL, the pitchers, to be specific, maybe not till All-Star break. Is it time to start pushing the panic button on the starting pitchers and maybe looking and exploring trades, or is it good because of the big lead to just keep weathering the storm until the break?
I'm going to say no and yes. No to the panic button, because I don't think anybody should panic after what we saw as far as what our offense can do. The Astros have a very good offense, no matter who AJ puts in there. These guys are going to put together great ABs, and when they're going well, they're going to pressure the starting pitching to get out of there early and then just destroy bullpens like they've been doing all year long. It's just a matter of what the starting rotation can do right now to suppress opposing offenses long enough for that offense to get going. That's the only question for me. And what I was saying yes to is I think you need to go out. For me, I think they need to go out there and explore, you know, whatever options they may have as far as starting pitching, because they have an opportunity to be the best team in baseball throughout the course of the season if they did wait until All-Star break. But they have a chance for me to go out and pick up a guy that will make them not just a playoff contending team, but you want to be a World Series contending team when you see an offense like they have right now. So I know that Luhnow's out there kicking the tires on a lot of guys and seeing what's available out there. He's been very patient, but he's also very thorough in what he wants to go out there and do. And, you know, as far as I can tell, I know he communicates well with the coaching staff to see what these guys want and need in their rotation. So there's going to be a lot of communication between now and then, but the fact that they're going to wait until the All-Star break gives you an idea of how good they feel about their lead.
Jeff Blum joins us on the HRMP hotline. All right, so we talked trades and we talked about, you know, them doing something. Some names always seem to come up, you know, Bregman, Martez, Kyle Tucker, and I imagine Derek Fisher's name. If you could only keep two, which two do you keep?
Oh, man. That's a really tough call. It depends on team need, and Bregman for me is in this lineup and on this roster and has the experience. That's the only thing, because if you unplug an Alex Bregman out of that lineup and you take him out of the defensive alignment, you know, and you move Gurriel back to third, who do you put at first base? Does Marwin become your everyday guy? So I think that removing guys out of your everyday lineup that is already so good, that worries me, and I would hate to ruin the continuity in the clubhouse, whereas some of these younger guys haven't really established themselves. They've proven they're big league worthy, but they haven't really established themselves in the Astros clubhouse. So that might be appealing to a team that is looking to trade some young prospects because they haven't established themselves in that clubhouse. But I would really not enjoy seeing a guy unplug from this offense or this clubhouse after being invested in it for so long. That could cause some effects internally.
All right, let's get some of this fun stuff. And I think this is this is one of these things that I saw when the story came out, and I immediately thought of you because I thought you might go a little crazy on this. But this Players Weekend that's coming up, it's pretty badass. The fact that, you know, I know the NBA lets the guys kind of wear different colored shoes and kind of go out there, but this is full-blown out there. You can express yourself that there's going to be a weekend coming up in MLB where I guess they said catchers can change their face masks and stuff. Okay, big deal. No, we're talking about, like, you can put your nickname on your jersey. You can wear different funky shoes and wristbands and stuff like that. You got to be saying, man, if I was still playing, that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, it's the XFL meets the MLB, and we've seen it in football with some customized charity cleats, and I think if these guys actually play their cards right in the major leagues, that they can actually have an impact outside of baseball if they do a very good job of getting, you know, some good-looking cleats. And then after that weekend, maybe, you know, autograph them and charity auction them off, which would be fantastic. But you're going to have a chance to see some real personality step out. That's probably the biggest thing these days, is trying to see these guys' personality. And I think baseball is unique in the sense that they don't have to wear helmets and cover up the face, you know. So you actually see these guys' face, but now you're going to actually see what that personality is all about. It's going to be interesting to see what outside influences these guys have and actually go through. But who's going to be the first guy to put "he hate me" on the back?
Or dude hate me.
Yeah.
Or you look at it.
I like that they're doing this. I think they need to make it appealing to the younger audiences out there, and I think this will go a long ways in doing that and having some fun with the game, with the sport. But what would you do if you were still playing? What would be on the back of your jersey, and what are some other things you would do to spice up the uniform a little bit for you?
Oh, man, I'm not sure as far as nicknames across the back. I mean, this day and age, you're probably going to see a couple of Twitter handles on the back of it. But, you know, the white shoes always intrigue me. I love that Alex Bregman's been rocking those the last couple of days. And Paulino has even gone out there and pitched with the white shoes. So that kind of interests me a little bit as far as breaking it up. But, you know, the neon colors would be interesting. It's just going to be kind of it's going to be interesting how these guys actually coordinate with the colors of their teams and get away with it. I think that's going to be the fun part. But to be honest, I have not given one ounce of thought of what I would actually put on the back of my jersey. And I can't think of anything offhand right now because I'm so ill prepared.
But once you've had the Max Headroom blonde spiked look, I mean, all the rest is just details, right?
Yeah, I would probably be the guy that asks to play without a hat.
I would think you would go like Blummer on the back and then try to work in as much Star Wars as you could. Maybe like go all white with the shoes like a stormtrooper or something like that. That's what I would do.
That would be pretty sick.
Blummer, on a scale of 1 to 10, the Metallica concert the other night in your mind was
that was a 12. Those guys 12? Were off the charts. My brother had seen them a couple times. That was my first time seeing them, and I was blown away. They are awesome.
Sweet. And by the way, what was the one that you said you're going to miss because you guys are on the road?
Chevelle.
Is that by is that a car by Chevy?
July 21st.
Is that a car by Chevy?
It is. And they name it. So there's two brothers, Pete Loeffler, Sam Loeffler, lead guitar and drummer, who are brothers. And the reason they named their band Chevelle is because they had such a good experience growing up and building cars with their dad. And Chevelle was their favorite car.
That's awesome.
I know. Great story. Good guys.
I know we got to let you go, and I just want you to know I'm still holding out hope that one day you'll call a single to left and Aoki Pokey. I just want you to know that I'm still hoping that that's going to happen.
After you use the McCann one, you can do whatever. There has to be hope.
My buddy John Westling tweets at you about the McCann one, and you're like, and you'll use it, but you won't use Aoki Pokey. I'm devastated.
The Ron Burgundy reference blows away the Aoki Pokey.
Damn
man.
It.
Man.
All right.
McCannonball.
Damn it. I'm going to pay you for Aoki Pokey. I'm going to pay you to do this.
All right, brother. Have a great broadcast tonight. Give Tupac a happy birthday on the air, and we'll get you on the air again real soon.
Sounds good. You guys have fun.
Thanks, Blummer. Jeff Blum right here. Catch him every night on Root Sports Southwest.